There is a whole lot of seeing in that passage we just heard read. I don't know quite how I missed that before. We always start Lent this way, with Jesus' words from the Sermon on the Mount about the dangers of public religious practice. It's clearly here because we are entering this time of the church year when many Christians take on a practice of one kind or another, where we recommit ourselves to praying for the world and its needs, or where we fast for a day or part of a day each week, or where we look closely at our generosity and consider giving more faithfully. I have always taken Jesus' words here on Ash Wednesday as a sort of invitation into those traditional practices of Lent, and as a reminder that what I ultimately do with them is finally between me and God, something that happens behind the closed door of my room. I suppose all that is fine, but through the familiarity of this passage that I have heard so many times before, something different stood out for me as I approached it this year. There is a whole lot of seeing in this passage, and I don't know quite how I missed that. Seeing, or rather being seen, is really the heartbeat of this passage. It's the rhythm that moves it along. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them. Do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. When you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who's in secret. Our first reaction to these hypocrites who love to be seen practicing their piety before others, sounding a trumpet before they give to the poor, or making a big public fuss about their prayers, or trying to look dismal and hungry while they fast, our first reaction to these folks might very well be puzzlement. Like, who in the world would actually do that? I don't know about you, but I am not particularly tempted to go out onto the Bourg du Four on a busy lunch hour and pray loudly from the base of the fountain. I'm certainly very happy to keep my personal religious practice to myself, thank you very much. Praying behind a closed door is just fine with me. And what's more, I am not at all sure that doing anything different from that would particularly impress my neighbors here in town. So on the one hand, it's clear that we are dealing with a very different cultural setting from our own. Maybe feats of religious devotion were a popular way to win approval back in Jesus's context. They most certainly are not here in 21st century secular Geneva. So on the one hand, it might feel like this passage is from another time and place entirely. But on the other, there is something strangely familiar about this passage's focus on being seen. Because I think if we are honest about it, most of us spend a fair amount of time and energy and resources concerned with how we are seen by others. Whether we want to be seen as smart or educated or wise or as calm or put together or hip or as accomplished or fashionable or youthful, or funny, or a great parent, or a great student, or a great leader, whatever the specifics, I think we know what it's like to be performing for others. The Greek word hypocrite that's there in this passage isn't always a negative one in Jesus' context, the way that it is in ours. A hypocrite was an actor, somebody up on a stage, often wearing a mask, playing a part for an audience. It's perfectly fine to do that when you're part of a production. But of course, when it comes to the rest of your life, acting has its limits. Constantly playing a part to receive the approval of friends or family, constantly putting on a mask to impress colleagues, constantly keeping up appearances is hard work. And the outcomes are at best unpredictable. They have received their reward, Jesus says, of those who are going about their religion with an eye to how others see them. The larger truth behind those words is that there's really not much of a reward to be found in allowing others to determine your worth. Sure, you may catch compliments here and there. You may catch the admiration of another. But really, this is no way to live a life. It's unstable, it's exhausting, and sooner or later, we all get sick of wearing a mask. There is an alternative, of course. Jesus points again and again in this passage to being seen by God. Practice your faith without concern for the gaze of others, Jesus says, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now, I don't know how you hear those words about the reward, if it sounds like you're chalking up extra points with God by saying your prayers at night or skipping a meal. But I hear Jesus saying something quite different there. Maybe being seen by God is itself the reward. You might imagine that the readings we get on Ash Wednesday, this day set aside for repentance and fasting, you might expect these readings would dwell on God's anger, would aim to sort of scare us with a frightening picture of the God who's looking back at us. But just the opposite is true. The fiery prophet Joel reminds us that God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, that God relents from punishing. The psalmist calls on the God who creates clean hearts and sets spirits right. Paul names God the reconciler, the one who no longer counts our trespasses against us. That is the sort of God we are dealing with, a God of mercy, a God whose heart is always open to us, a God for whom we do not need to prove our worth or perform a show or play a part. As Desmond Tutu says, there is nothing we can do to make God love us more, because God loves us perfectly already. And there is absolutely nothing we can do to make God love us less. Living in the gaze of that God, allowing this one and no one else to determine our worth, could not be more different from living in constant concern for how others see us. This way is stable, it's free, it's graceful, it's everlasting, settling into this love and allowing it to reorient our lives is reward enough. So before God, we are invited to take off the masks tonight. The masks that say we have everything together, or the masks that say we are always strong, or the masks that deny the reality of death, or the fragility of our lives. In a moment, I will invite you all to come forward and gather around the altar to receive a cross in ashes on your forehead. Yes, in these ashes, we see a stark reminder of the vulnerability and the brevity of life. And just so, just there, we remember that we are seen and held by God, whose mercy is everlasting, and who calls us beloved, just as we are. Amen.